नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिनि नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशकारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम द सिक्स्थ चैप्टर ऑफ Srimad Bhagavad Gita, which talks about Ashtanga Yoga, and I'll do a brief recap of what we have seen till now. So Krishna described about about Nishkama Karma Yoga in the third chapter and in the fourth chapter. Nishkama Karma Yoga for purification, and how by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga one develops the qualification for jnana, that he says towards the end of the fourth chapter. So he says that tat svayam yoga samsiddhir kalenaatmani vindati nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tat svayam yoga samsiddhir kalenaatmani vindati. He says how by practice of nishkama karma yoga, gradually by purification of heart, one develops qualification for jnana. So towards the end of the fourth chapter, he talks about how the goal of practicing Nishkama Karma Yoga in its various forms is to reach that stage of jnana. And then in the fifth chapter, he talks about two ways in which one can act on the platform of jnana. One is by practicing Karma Sannyas, and another is by practicing Grihastha Sannyas. Okay, so he explains that how of the two, the practice of Grihastha Sannyas is better. So Sannyas is internal, it is not external. So therefore one should not say that, oh, he is a Grihastha, he can never attain liberation. Oh, he is a Sannyasi, he can attain liberation. So the Sannyasi or Grihastha is not external. It's not that all Grihasthas are attached. It's not that all external sannyasis are detached. Detachment is internal. One can, while staying in the grihastha life, he can actually be a detached person, right? So we do hear, you know, today, interestingly, it was our, I don't know how many of you know Radhika Valla Prabhu. Today was Radhika Valla Prabhu's father's 80th birthday. It is called as Sadabhishekam. Okay, 60th birthday is called as Shashtyabdaburthi. So there are proper standard practices for rituals for all these kind of things. So now today I was sitting there, I was talking with Nityanand Prabhu today, and he was asking me, "Are, but we hear that Panchashordvam Vanam Vrajet. After 50, one has to go to the forest. So if that is the Vedic injunction, then how is it that we have this Shashtyabdaburthi, Sadabhishekam, and all these things, you know, 60th birthday, 80th birthday, and all that? And there are proper Vedic rituals for that. So is it a standard Vedic injunction that after 50 everyone has to take up to Vanaprastha and Sannyas?" So this was the point. And I was discussing from, I was sharing with Prabhuji about the fifth chapter only, where Krishna says there is Grihastha Sannyas and there is Karma Sannyas. And of the two, Grihastha Sannyas is recommended by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. So in Grihastha Sannyas means you do stay in the at home only, you know, you do stay in your ashram and you continue with your Varna Dharma and internally cultivate detachment. So, and also it is not that Panchashordvam Vanam Vrajet does not mean after 50 everyone should definitely leave. It means, but that by 50, when you are 50, you must have developed internal detachment. That's what it means. You can't afford to remain attached even at the stage of, even at the age of 50. So if you have properly practiced your practice of Sakama Karma Yoga and Nishkarma Yoga, etc., gradually, then at by the age of 50, you must have developed sufficient internal detachment. That is what it means. It does not mean that without that internal detachment, you can naturally take up to Vanaprastha and Sannyas. That will be a big disturbance only. So it is not like that. Right? So towards the end of the fifth chapter, Krishna says that the same liberation by practice of jnana can also be attained by practice of Ashtanga Yoga. So he introduces Ashtanga Yoga in the last three verses of fifth chapter. Then he starts sixth chapter, where, so in the last three verses, he gives a prelude to the, if you see, the towards the end of the fourth chapter, he gives a prelude to the fifth chapter. And towards the end of the fifth chapter, he gives a prelude to the sixth chapter. And then towards the end of the sixth chapter, he gives a prelude to the seventh chapter, which talks about bhakti, right? Yoginam api sarvesham madgate anantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam samaya yukshadamo mata, like that. So here now, towards the end of fifth chapter, he spoke about Ashtanga Yoga, that how by practice of Ashtanga Yoga also you can attain the same liberation. And of the two, Ashtanga Yoga is better. So, talking about this, he says, I'll do a quick recap of what we saw in the sixth chapter till now. He says, Anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karoti yaha sa sanyasi cha yogi cha nanidagnir na chakriya. So he says the real symptom of a sannyasi or a yogi is the internal detachment from the fruits of the activities. It is not externally giving up duties. He does not externally give up the Agni Karya and all those things. That one need not give up. Not that they don't give up, but giving it up is not a primary symptom. The real symptom of a sannyasi or a yogi is internal detachment, not his external performance or non-performance of these karma rituals. Yam sannyasam iti prahur yogam tam viddhi pandava nahi asanyasta sankalpo yogi bhavati kaschana. He says, one should understand sannyas and yoga mean the same thing. In fact, one who has not given up his desires for actions, he is never a yogi. Then he says, Adirukshor Muner Yogam Karmakarana Muchate, Yoga Rudasya Tasseva Shamakarana Muchate. In the beginning stages of yoga, when one has not developed sufficient internal detachment, then performance of one's Varnashram duties is very critical. But when one has developed internal purification and he has reached the stage of Yoga Ruda, where he is ready to meditate on the form of the Lord within the heart, then at that stage of Ashtanga Yoga, one should give up his Varnashrama duties, because that will be an obstacle to his meditation on the form of the Lord within. Yadahi Nendriya Teshu Namaswanu Shajjate Sarva Sankalpa Sanyasi Yoga Ruda Sadochate. So who is a person at the stage of Yoga Ruda? He has no attachment to sense objects and he has no attachment to karma, the means of attaining those sense objects. Okay. So such a person is at the stage of Yoga Ruda. Then further he describes this Yoga Ruda stage. He says, Uddared Atmanatmanam Natmanam Avasadayet Atmaivahi Atmana Bandur Atmaivaripuratmanaha. So he says that one should deliver the soul by the mind and one should not degrade it. The mind is the friend of the soul and the mind is the enemy of the soul, both. Atmaivahi Atmana Bandur Atmaivaripuratmanaha. How the mind is simultaneously the friend and enemy? Banduratmatmanastasya yenatmai vatmana jitaha anatmanastu shatrutve vartet atmaiva shatruvat. So he says that when one has learned how to conquer the mind becomes his friend. But when one who has not learned that art of conquering the mind, then the mind becomes the greatest enemy. He says, Jitatmana prashantasya paramatma samahitaha shitoshna sukha dukkeshu tata manapamanayo. A person at the stage of yoga ruda is jitatmana. He has conquered the mind completely. Prashantasya, and he is devoid of all kinds of attachments. So such a person, atma param samahitaha, he has his soul very deeply in trance. He has his soul deeply in trance. Shita ushna sukha dukkha mana apamana yoho. And he has developed tolerance on the level of body, mind and false ego. Shita ushna is tolerance on the level of body. Sukha dukkha is tolerance on the body of mind. And mana apamana is tolerance on the body of on the level of soul. Sorry, false ego. Okay. Jnana vijnana triptatma kutastho vijitendriyah yukta iti uchyate yogi samaloshtrashmakanah. Jnana vijnana triptatma, and that person is completely satisfied with the knowledge and the realizations that he has received from the scriptures. Kutastha, he is situated in one nature. Kutastha, because he is beyond the three moons, therefore he is situated in one nature. Vijitendriya, he is completely in control of his senses, therefore sama loshtrashma kanchanah, he sees the earth, the stone and gold as the same. Like we saw last time, it's not that he has lost the discrimination to see the difference between the three, it's just that in terms of utility, all three are non-different for him. In terms of utility, there is non-difference. It's not that all three of them, he literally sees them, or he ceases, or he has lost the ability to discriminate between a stone, a piece of iron, and earth, a stone, and a piece of gold. It's just that in terms of utility, because he has no material attachments for them, for all practical purposes, they are same for him. So, then he says, Suhran mitrari udasina madhyastha dvesha bandushu sadushu apicha papeshu samabuddhir vishishyate. So, he says that this person is not affected by people who, in whose association different kinds of emotions are generated. Okay. So he sees a natural well-wisher, the friend, the neutral person, the mediator, the enemy and the relative, the sinner and the pious persons. He sees all of them the same. Suhrin mitrari udasina madhyastha dvesha bandushu sadushu api chapeshu samabuddhir vishishyate. So this is even better. He is a even better level of yogi who is able to remain equipoised in the association of people who generate multifarious emotions in him. Okay. So then, in the next section, he talks about the various stages in the practice of yoga. He says, Yogi yunjita sat atmanam rahasi stitaha ekaki yata chittatma nirashir aparigrahaha. So he says, the yoga ruda, the yogi, atmanam yunjita satatam, he should always absorb his mind in the samadhi. Ekaki rahasi stitaha, he should live in a solitary place. So which means in the yoga ruda stage, solitary meditation, a solitary place is very favored. At the stage of yoga ruda. Yata chittatma, who has controlled his mind and body, nirashir aparigraha, he is without desire and without any sense of possessiveness. Okay. So we saw the difference between yoga ruksha and yoga rudha, because these terminologies keep coming either in the verse itself or in the commentaries. So we did a brief brushing up of these terminologies. The yoga ruruksha stage of yoga is the early stage where the heart is still unclean, and at that stage nishkama karma yoga is parallelly practiced to cleanse the heart. But yoga rudha stage is the advanced stage when the heart has become clean, and at that stage nishkama karma yoga is given up like that. So then he says, then he talks about various practices of asana, pranayama, and all those things. He says, chuchau deshe pratishtapya stiram asanam atmanah natyuchritam nati neecham chailajana kushottaram tatraikagram manakritva yata chittendriya kriyah upavishyasane yunjad yogam atma vishuddaye. So he says that chuchau deshe pratishtapya, one should choose a very clean place. And atmanam stiram asanam pratishtapya, and one should situate oneself in a solid asana, okay, not like a pillow, which when you sit, you know, the central portion goes down and you know it is not very solid. One should choose a very solid asana. Na ati uchritam na ati neecham, neither too high nor too low. Then chaila ajina kushottaram, first on the bottom you should have kusha grass mat, on top of that you should have a deer skin, and on top of that you should have a silk cloth. Tatra upavishya asane, and sitting on that asana, ekagram manakritva, concentrating the mind on one point, yata chitta indriya kriya, and controlling the activities of the mind and the senses, yogam yunjad, he should engage in yoga, atma vishuddhaye, for the purpose of purification of consciousness. So this is talking about the practice of yoga, how it is practiced. Samam kaya shiro grivam dharayan achalam stirah samprekshya nasikagram svam dishascha anavalokayan prashantatma vigatabihi brahmachari vrate stitah manas sayamya machitto yukta asita matparaha. So he says samam kaya shiro grivam, one should keep body, hand and neck straight. Achalam, motionless. Stiraha, very firm. Samprekshya nasikagram svam, and one should try to gaze at the tip of the nose, because to gaze at the tip of the nose, if you have your eyes fully open, you cannot gaze at the tip of your nose. And if you have your eyes fully closed, you cannot gaze at the tip of your nose. Only when your eyes are half open, half closed, you can actually gaze at the tip of your nose. So for this practice, you should have your... So gazing at the tip of the nose means, it is the indirect way of telling, keep your eyes half open and half closed. Because if you have your eyes fully open, then you will get distracted. If you have your eyes fully closed, you will sleep. So if you keep your eyes half open, half closed, then you can, you will not sleep, and at the same time you won't get distracted. That is the meaning of that. Looking at the tip of the nose. Otherwise, there is no real value to look at the tip of the nose. It just means keep your eyes half open and half closed. That's all. Right. So then he says, Dishascha anavalokayan, you should not look in any other directions. Prashantatma, your mind should be peaceful. Vigata bihi, you should be fearless. To be fearless means, in order to practice the later stages of yoga, one should not have material attachments. Because if there is material attachments, then it leads to fear. Prashantatma vigata bihi brahmachari vrate stita, one should practice celibacy. Manas sanyamya, and one should withdraw the mind from the sense objects. Machitto, and meditating on me, yukta asita matpara. He should be absorbed in devotion to me. So, machitta and matpara, two things he mentions, which indicates devotion. So, here, this indicates that as with jnana, yoga must also include bhakti in order to realize paramatma. Right? We saw in the fifth chapter, in the practice of jnana yoga, it should have the element of bhakti to realize the paramatma and eventually attain liberation. Similarly, in the practice of ashtanga yoga also, to attain realization of paramatma, one should have the element of bhakti, otherwise it is not possible. That is what is indicated here as matpara. Matpara indicates one should be absorbed in devotion to Krishna. So that is what it means. But this does not mean shuddha bhakti. This means just that the practice of yoga should have the element of bhakti. That's all. Then he says, yunjan evam sadatmanam yogi niyatamanasah shantim nirvana paramam matsamstam adigacchati. So yunjan evam sada atmanam, in this way constantly engaging the mind in meditation, niyatamanasah, because his consciousness is devoid of sense objects, yogi adigacchati shantim, the yogi attains destruction of bondage. Nirvana paramam matsamstam, he attains the stage of liberation, which is and the realization of the impersonal Brahman. Mat paramam nirva mat samstam nirvana paramam adigacchati. So he attains destruction of bondage, the platform of liberation, and the realization of the impersonal Brahman. He attains that stage. Then he says, natyashnatastu yogosti nachaikantam anashnatah nachati swapnashilasya jagrato chaiva charjuna. So he says that yoga is not possible for one who eats too much or one who does not eat, for one who sleeps too much and for one who does not sleep. Okay. So we saw in this context, purayed ashanenardam tritiyam udakena vayoho sancharanartam tu chaturtam avasheshayet. So he says that one should not overeat. What is proper eating then? Proper eating means half the stomach should be filled with food, one fourth with water, and one fourth should be left for the movement of air. So this way, if one eats regularly, properly, then he will not be troubled with diseases. Yuktahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta swapnava bodhasya yogo bhavati dukkaha. In this way, if one is regulated in his eating and regulated in his walking, vihara, so or recreation. So this is, walking is an allowed favorable form of recreation for the Vaishnavas. And yukta cheshtasya karma, and if one has regulated use of his organs in both material and spiritual activities, and yukta swapna avabodhasya, if he is regulated in his sleeping and regulated in his waking up, then such a practice of yoga, yogo bhavati dukkaha, the yoga destroys all kinds of suffering. So regulation is very key. Otherwise, it is not sustainable. In the beginning stages, you know, we may do this, we may do that, we may run here, we may run there. But that is not in the long run sustainable. One should try as much as possible to regulate their lives. Regulation is very critical, even in Bhakti Yoga. So, there is always, you know, but one may say, Prabhuji, but in Bhakti, surrender is more important. Na? Is regulation important or surrender more important? The point is, we think both are mutually exclusive things. We think that if I try to regulate my life, it compromises on my surrender. No. an activity can be performed in Sattvaguna, an activity can be performed in Rajoguna. Many times, if we are running around and doing multiple things, that means that is a sign of surrender. It may be and need not be. It may just be our uncontrolled Rajoguna. Right? So, there is a way of, in the long run, we can be more productive only if we learn to regulate our lives. Regulation is very critical. So, you can't, in the long run, it is not sustainable to neglect our bodies, not eat in a regulated way, not sleep in a regulated way. We may think that these are signs of surrender, but we may be cheating ourselves. It may just be our unregulated Rajoguni or Tamoguni lifestyle rather than surrender. And at the same time, so therefore, one should be very careful to assess themselves, because that habit becomes our second nature. Sometimes we may have extended ourselves for serving the devotees, but we may realize that over a period of time that becomes our habit. Even when there is no pressing need, then we are unwilling to regulate our lives. We are not sleeping at regular times. We are not eating at regular times. So these are things. One, if there is lack of regulation, then that practice of yoga will not lead to destruction of suffering. Yuktaha viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta swapna avabodasya yoga bhavati dukkaha. Only a person who regulates his eating and recreation, one who regulates his use of organs in both material and spiritual activities, one who regulates in sleep and regulates his waking up, only his yoga will destroy all suffering. That's what here he is mentioning. So this is where we ended our discussion last Friday. So before we continue today's discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, anything anyone would like to share as add, you can please go ahead. Yes, Keshav Priya Mataji.
Harishna Pruji, Nandavat Pranam Pruji. Pramuji, people doing this Ashtanga Yoga, they are coming out of all vasanas now, Prabhuji. Then why is this particular shloka is being given to them? Like definitely they will be having regulated life. Like they come out of vasanas now, Prabhuji.
In the later stages only they come out of vasanas, not in the early stages.
So this is for earlier instruction, is it?
Yeah, Prabhuji? Yeah.
Okay, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, another doubt is there is Siddha Prajna Ka Bhasha. We see in second chapter now, Prabhuji, about Jnana Yogi, Siddha Prajna. So is this both like, is the same, Prabhuji, that discussion, like Krishna is expressing a few shlokas, he's discussing about that now, Prabhuji. Is the both the same, Prabhuji? Almost it looks like the same.
Yeah. You Siddha Prajna means one who has reached the stage of Jnana Yoga, self-realization. Like self-realization. So one can achieve it either through Jnana Yoga or by practice of Ashtanga Yoga.
Oh, that fits for Ashtanga Yogis also, is it, Prabhuji?
Yeah.
Oh, because almost it is coming the same, that's why.
Yeah, same thing, yes.
Yeah, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay, there is one question in the chat box. When he gives up Nishkama Karma Yoga, he becomes a sannyasi. Or does it have a grihastha yogi and a sannyas yogi similar to jnana? No. On the path of jnana, you can be a grihastha sannyasi or a karma sannyasi, but you cannot be a grihastha yogi, because to practice yoga, you have to have a secluded place where you are not disturbed. You can practice grihastha sannyas by continuing to perform your Nishkama Karma Yoga. But yoga rudasya tasyaiva shamakkaranam uchyate. But on the path of yoga, when you reach the higher stages, you have to essentially give up your karma. So there is no question of grihastha yogi. He has to give up that aspect of it. Only till when his heart becomes purified at that stage, if he has chosen the path of Ashtanga Yoga, then he has to give up his grahastha life. It is not possible. Anything else before we move forward? Okay, if there is none, then we will continue our discussion. So Krishna continues his discussion on his description of Ashtanga Yoga. He says, Yada viniyatam chittam atman yevava tishtate nispruhaha sarva kamebhyo yuktayatyuchate tada. Yada viniyatam chittam, when the motionless consciousness atman yeva avatishtate fixes itself in the self alone. So when one's consciousness is fixed on the self, nispruhaha sarva kamebhyo, completely free from the desires for all the objects of enjoyment, yuktayati uchyate tada, one is said to be perfect in yoga. So when is one said to be perfect in yoga? So he says that when the mind when the motionless consciousness fixes itself in the self alone, free from the desires for all the objects of enjoyment, then one is perfect in yoga. So how do you know that now the Yoga Rudra stage has started and I have to give up my karma? How do we know? Yada viniyatam chittam atmanyeva avatishtate nispruhah sarva kamebhyo yuktaiti uchyate tada. When the consciousness is completely fixed internally in the self and it is free from all objects of sense enjoyment, then one has reached the stage of Yoga Rudra, and at that stage he can give up his practice of karma. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti says, when does the yogi perfect that yoga? This verse describes that situation. When the consciousness stops all movement, okay, and it firmly fixes without distraction in the self alone, it is said to be perfect yoga. So viniyatam chittam means, as they say, yoga chitta vritti nirodha. So yoga is chitta vritti nirodha. When the functions of the chitta is stopped, the function of the chitta is actually the chitta vritti is actually to generate material emotions out of sense perceptions. So yoga chitta vritti nirodha means one should stop the action of the chitta to generate material emotions, which means actually cleansing of material vasanas. When the material vasanas are cleansed, then automatically material emotions will not be generated by the chitta, like that. So when there is no longer generation of material vasanas, when one comes in touch with material sense objects, nispraha sarva kamebhyo, when he is completely free from the desires of all objects of enjoyment and he is perfectly able to focus only on the self, then he is said to be perfected. You know, he has reached the perfected stage of yoga. Then he says, yata deepo nivatasto nengate sopama smrita yogino yata chittasya yunjato yoga matmanaha. So here he says, What is the symptom of Yoga Rudra? And then in the next verse, he gives an example to explain that perfection. Okay, so he says, Yogino yatachittasya, the motionless consciousness of the yogi, yunjato yogam atmanaha, who is engaged in meditation on the self. So he says that the motionless consciousness of the yogi, who is engaged in meditation on the self, yata deepo sa upama smrita, is considered exactly similar to a flame, na ingate, which does not move, nivatasto, being placed in a windless place. So the wind moves the flame. Okay. The wind moves the flame. Okay. So the flame is compared to the mind. And the wind is compared to the vasanas. Okay. So therefore he says that the motionless consciousness of the yogi engaged in meditation on the self is considered exactly similar to a flame which does not move, being placed in a windless place. Just like the flame does not move in a windless place, the mind of the yogi does not move because it is free from the influence of the vasanas. Okay, that is the stage of Yoga Rudra. So there is an upama, there is an example that is used to explain that stage of perfection of a yogi. So his mind is like a lamp in a windless place. He says, it is considered exactly similar to a lamp which does not move when in a windless place. The elision of sa with upama to form sopama is according to the rule, sochi lope chet pada puranam. This is from the Panini. The normal form would be sa upama, but according to this, to the rule, it can be sopama for metrical reasons. So anyways, this is some grammar. So what is the comparison? He says, the lamp is compared to the consciousness of the devoid of movement. Like that. So that is the, he gives an example to describe the consciousness or the mind of the yogi. Okay. Then he continues. Yatro paramate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya. Yatra chaivatman atmanam pashyan atmani tushyati sukam atyantikam yattad buddhi grahyam atiyam veti yatrana chaivayam stitas chalati tatvatah yam labdva chaparam labam manyate nantatah yasmin stitna dukkena gurunapi balyate tam vidya dukkha yoga vyogam yoga sangitam. So he describes again, further describes the state of perfection. So what is that state of perfection? He says, yatra uparamate chittam, wherein the consciousness which is completely controlled, niruddham, it has become inactive. How it has become inactive? Yoga sevaya, by the practice of yoga. By the practice of yoga, the chitta has become inactive because it is free from the impurities. Yatra cha eva atmana atmanam pashyan. So wherein seeing the Paramatma with the aid of Paramatma. Right? So with the aid of Paramatma means with the mercy of Paramatma, which one gets because of his practice of bhakti. Because of his practice of bhakti, one gets the mercy. Because of the practice of the bhakti element in his practice of yoga, one gets the mercy by which he is able to meditate on the Paramatma. Yatra che eva atmana atmanam pashyan. And then he says, Atmani Tushyati. The yogi is completely satisfied in the self. Vetti Atyantikam Sukam Yattad Buddhi Grahyam. Wherein at that stage, like Mataji said, this is the stage of Tita Pragya. This is also the stage of Pragya, which Krishna describes in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So he says, Vetti Atyantikam Sukam. He knows extreme bliss. Buddhi Grahyam. That bliss which is experienced only through spiritual intelligence. But Atindriyam. But not through material senses. So, Yatro Paramate Chittam Niruddham Yoga Sevaya. When the consciousness of the person is completely controlled by the practice of yoga, wherein seeing the Paramatma with the aid of Paramatma, the yogi who is completely satisfied in the self, where he experiences extreme bliss through spiritual intelligence, and which is not at all possible to be experienced by material senses. Yatra stitaha ayam nacha eva tatvataha chalati. Wherein he does not move from his true spiritual nature. Of course, here the true spiritual nature does not indicate Jivera Swarupoi Krishna Nityadas. It just means that he is not the body, but he is the soul. Okay. So, he does not move from his true spiritual nature. And manyate, and at that stage he considers yam labam labdva, having obtained this, having obtained the stage of being the Brahma Bhuta stage, aparam na adhikam tataha. He thinks that nothing more can be attained after thereafter. He becomes completely self-satisfied and he thinks that this situation is the perfect situation. Aparam nadikam tataha. And he says, yasmin stitaha, and being situated in this state, na gurunapi dukkena vichalyate. He is not disturbed by the greatest calamity. Right? This is because of being completely absorbed in that spiritual bliss. Tam vidya dukkha samyoga viyogam. Know that such a state, know vidya, that such a state, tam dukkha samyoga viyogam, which is separated from all miseries. Viyogam, which is separated from dukkha samyoga, all miseries. Know that such a state which is free from all miseries, yoga samgitam, to be yoga. To be yoga here means perfection of yoga. He says, sayogo nischayena yoktavyo. This yoga must be practiced with determination. Not that you practice for a while and then stop practicing for a while and then practice for a while and then stop practicing. No. By such a practice, one cannot attain perfection of yoga. One should practice such a yoga with determination. Anirvinna chetasa. Anirvinna chetasa means devoid of depression, which means that when one practices, one may not get immediate success. One may not get immediate success. One may slip and fall down. One may, the anarthas may trouble that person. But one should not yield to depression. One should not get trapped by depression and think that, oh, you know, I cannot achieve perfection like that. Sayogo nischayena yoktavyo anirvinna chetasa. This yoga must be practiced with determination devoid of depression. Anirvinna chetasa, like that. So in this way, he describes the state of perfection of a yogi. He says that yatra uparamate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya, when the consciousness has been brought completely under control by the practice of yoga, yatra cha eva atmana atmanam pashyan, wherein one sees the paramatma with the help of the paramatma, which means by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, which one gets due to one's practice of bhakti. Atmani tushyati, he is completely self-satisfied. Vetti atyantikam sukam yattad buddhigrahyam atindriyam, and he attains a supreme form of bliss which is accessible only through spiritual intelligence, and it is not at all accessible through material senses. Atindriyam. And yatra sthitaha ayam nacha eva tatvataha chalati, being situated in this particular state, he does not move from his true spiritual nature. Yam labdva, he says that yam labam labdva manyate aparam nadikam tataha, having attained this state of bliss, he thinks that there can be nothing higher than this. Yasmin stitaha na gurunapi dukkena vichalyate, having situated in this particular, in the state of Brahmabhuta state, he does not get disturbed by even the most excruciating type of miseries. Okay. Tam vidya dukkha sanyoga viyogam yoga samgitam. Please understand that such a state which is separated from all miseries, it is actually called as yoga. And this yoga, sa yogo nischayena yoktavyo anirvinna chetasa. So this yoga must be practiced with determination. Not that you try a little bit and then not practice after that for a while and then try it out for a while like that. No. With determination it should be practiced. And anirvinna chetasa, being devoid of depression. When success does not come quickly, one should not feel very morose and depressed like that. So, like that Krishna is describing. So here, in commenting on this verse, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that in verse 16 and the verses following, the word yoga referred to being situated in samadhi. So yoga here means samadhi, the perfection of yoga. So this samadhi is of two types, sampragnyata samadhi and asampragnyata samadhi. So sampragnyata samadhi has many types according to differences of savichara and savitarka. So these are some details. If you don't know, it's fine. But there's some explanation given here. In his footnote, Srila Bhanuswami Maharaj says, these are described in Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. Sampragyata Samadhi involves meditation on objects. If the objects are gross, it is called as Savitarka. But if the objects are subtle, then it is called as Savichara. But Asampragyata Samadhi is meditation on no object at all. Okay, there are two types of Samadhi, which is sampragyata, which involves meditation on objects which may be gross or subtle, and asampragyata samadhi means meditation on with no object at all, like that. So what is asampragyata samadhi like? So that is what is being described here. So he says 3.5 verses answer, right? So in that state of asampragyata samadhi, the consciousness does not touch any objects at all. Chittam uparamate, because of complete stoppage, niruddham. as Patanjali Sutra says, yogas chitta vritti nirodaha. Yoga means stopping the functions of chitta or consciousness. So he says the word yatra extends its meaning to verse 23rd, till the word 23rd. That is why all these verses are connected verses. Right. So he says, in that samadhi, the yogi seeing the Paramatma by his internal organ, which takes the form of Paramatma. So here, Srila Bhanuswami Maharaj says, there seems to be two versions here. He says, in one version, Atmanam means Paramatmanam. Thus, by the internal organ which takes the form of Paramatma, the yogi sees Paramatma. In the other version, the yogi sees Atma by the internal organ in the form of Paramatma. Since dictions of mind, etc. have stopped, the Atma is not realized. The Paramatma must function at this time to give him awareness of his own self and Paramatma. So this is explanation. So this is all within brackets. So he says that in that samadhi, the yogi seeing the Paramatma by his internal organ, which takes the form of Paramatma, is satisfied. Because the functions of the material mind has been stopped. The functions of the material mind has been stopped. So therefore, the Paramatma equips him to see the self. That is what is described here. And such a person is satisfied. He feels satisfied. So in that state of samadhi, he then experiences extreme bliss. Sukham atyantikam yattad buddhigrahyam atindriyam. In that state of samadhi, he then experiences extreme bliss, which is comprehended by intelligence in the form of the soul. He says, note, since he has realized soul, it functions with its own intelligence and not material intelligence which has stopped. So there is spiritual intelligence which starts functioning. So he says that in that state of samadhi, he experiences extreme bliss, which is comprehended by spiritual intelligence, which is devoid of contact with material senses and sense objects. Atindriyam. Buddhigrahyam atindriyam. Then he says, then in that state, he does not move from the true state of the Atma, his true form. Chalati tattvataha. And having attained that state, he does not consider anything, attaining anything else. Yam labdva chaparam labam manyate nadikam tataha. Having attained the state, he thinks that there is nothing higher that needs to be accomplished. In that state, he is separated from all contact with suffering. Tam vidya dukkha samyoga vyogam yoga samgitam. There is no suffering, material suffering, because there is no material attachment. Okay. So he says, one should know that state of samadhi as yoga. Tam vidya dukkha samyoga vyogam yoga samgitam. And then he says, sa nischayena yoktavyo. Sa yogo nischayena yoktavyo. Though I cannot attain it quickly, certainly I can attain this yoga. Like that, one should have determination. And anirvinna chetasa. One should not get depressed. Thinking, oh, after such a long time, I have not achieved perfection. What is the use of all this hard work? Like that, one should not feeling depressed and dejected. Bhumau skalita padanam bhumi deva avalambanam. If you slip due to the slippery ground, then you take help from that slippery ground, take support and get up and start walking. That attitude of getting up and moving on should be there. One should not get dejected like that. So he says that one should practice with mind convinced. What is it to me? Let me attain perfection in this life or in the next. So with that mode, one should practice. So he says, Gaudapad has given an example. Utseka udader yadvat kushagre kushagreyaika binduna manaso nigrahas tadvat bhaved aparikedataha. One should gradually control the mind without complaining, though it is like taking drops of water from the ocean to dry it up with the tip of a kusha. One should be willing to put in the determination. One should not think, oh, it's such a long thing, you know, I will not do. No. Drop by drop, drop by drop, drop by drop, you know, like that. One should be willing to put in the, you know, hard work. That is determination. Sayogo nischayena yoktavyo anirvinna chetasa, without getting depressed. So here he gives the story. There is a story to explain this. The ocean stole with its strong waves the eggs of a bird situated on the ocean's shore. The ocean stole the eggs of that bird. Determined to dry up the ocean, the bird took one drop of water at a time using its beak. The ocean, being emptied of many drops by the bird's beak, was not at all affected. Oh, what a bird which has capability of removing only one drop at a time. How can it empty the ocean? The ocean was not at all affected. Okay, you try your best. I'm not going to give you back your eggs. Like that. So he says, even though discouraged by Narada, so Narada Muni came there and discouraged that bird. What are you doing? Don't do it, you know. How can you dry up the ocean like this? Who happened to come there? The bird again made the promise in front of him. In this life or next, I will dry up the ocean. So this is the kind of determination that one needs to practice in yoga. Okay. Then merciful Narada, by the will of the Lord, sent Garuda to help them, saying, the ocean has disrespected you by offending your relative, this small bird, like that. So the ocean, becoming dried up by the wind coming from Garuda's flapping wings, became frightened and then returned the eggs to the bird. So when Garuda came there, Garuda was flapping his wings and it generated so much wind that the ocean became afraid that that wind will dry up the ocean. So the ocean became very afraid of Garuda, and then he returned the eggs back, the bird. Thus, one should be convinced that the Lord will bestow his mercy on the resolute person who enthusiastically begins yoga, jnana or bhakti with faith in the words of the scripture. This is the mood. Sa nischayena yoktavyo yogo anirvinna chetasa. That is the thing. One should not give up determination, and one should not give in to depression. So even though success may not come immediately, so that mood of determination is very, very important. I will put in the hard work. I will try to do my best. Even though success may not come immediately, but I will not lose heart and I will not give my hard work, like that. So in that mode, one should certainly, continue one's practice of yoga, whether it is Ashtanga or Bhakti or Jnana, etc. like that. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as had? Okay. Okay, Kesha Priya Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, very technical technical points, couldn't understand much Prabhuji, the explanation, but somewhat trying to sampragnya, asavarnya, why those things are given, I couldn't understand. Paramatma, from Atma seeing Paramatma, some all those explanation, maybe again if I hear the lecture I can maybe understand.
It means okay? It means that because in the stages of samadhi or in the higher stages, because he has given up the material mind, so therefore the Paramatma helps generate spiritual mind and spiritual intelligence through which he can see the Paramatma within. So you cannot see the Paramatma using your material senses or material mind. And also the material mind and senses have been given up by the yogi at that stage of liberation. Paramatma helps generate, helps manifest the spiritual aspect of the spiritual mind and spiritual senses to perceive the Paramatma within. That's what it means.
So finally, here also, the final statement is, here also mercy of the Lord is only needed, no Prabhuji, in this yoga also.
Yeah.
After all,
but
such
the dependence, but the dependence on mercy is not as much as in Shuddha Bhakti Yoga. So it's not that in Jnana Yoga or Nishkama Karma Yoga or in Ashtanga Yoga, there is no element of mercy. Element of mercy is certainly there. Ultimately, it is by mercy only. But the practitioner does not feel that much dependence on mercy as much as a bhakti yogi feels dependent on mercy.
Yeah, only he does not feel, but purely depends on mercy only. Is it not true, Prabhuji?
Yeah, ultimately it is mercy only.
He may not feel, but ultimately it is done by mercy only.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, Prabhuji, but another question comes in my mind is, all these things, that example, no, Prabhuji, even Prabhupada has given this example in purports, that sparrow emptying the ocean. And after all such hard works, it is just to merge with Brahma Jyoti only, the maximum destination they can get, no, Prabhuji, through this yoga.
That is what they want.
Oh.
That is what they want.
Okay.
They get what they want.
Okay.
Yeah, you are feeling sorry for them.
Yes, Prabhuji.
They are feeling sorry for you.
Yeah.
So it's just ultimately just like the we are feeling sorry for the people who are drinking and so-called enjoying, and they are feeling sorry for you that you are wasting your youth and all that in all these kinds of spiritual things, and when there is the whole world is there to enjoy, you're wasting your youth in not enjoying. Right. So Yanisha Sarva Bhutanam Tasyam Jagrati Sangami. Tasyam Jagrati Bhutani Sanisha.
Yeah, Prabhuji, but those people are in sense gratification, Prabhuji. But these people are spiritual, like they are definitely far
same
better
principle.
Than us.
Same principle. Same principle.
Okay.
Same principle is there. It is for those who have Sukriti, that way when the first verse that the four Kumaras speak after they receive the mercy of the Supreme Lord is that they say that, my goodness, now we understand, now that we have received your mercy, now we understand why the Vaishnavas used to not consider the mukti, Kaivalya Mukti, as your mercy.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Like that. So, Prabhuji, which means, like, let me complete.
It is confusing. Yeah, Prabhuji.
Let me complete.
Yes, Prabhuji.
So, which means that till one gets that particular level of Sukriti, the ability to see, the discrimination to see what is valuable and what is not valuable is not there.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not that. So depending on one's level of spiritual development, they develop the ability to see what is valuable and what is not valuable. So therefore, we may think kaivalyam narakayate.
Mm-hmm.
But they will not think like that, because they have not developed sufficient sukriti to see how spiritual relationships and active spiritual senses can be very blissful. For them, senses means material senses. Actions means material actions. Relationships means material relationships. All of which in their understanding generates ehi samsparshaja bhoga dukkha yona yevate. It leads to. So that much sukriti they have. But they don't have that extra sukriti that is needed to see the glories of spiritual relationships. So therefore, when they got that additional sukriti, the first thing that they said, we used to always criticize these Vaishnavas that why they are, what they are going to get, why they are asking for darshan of the Lord or make me a dust at the foot of your lotus feet and all that. Yeah. So why don't you accept the Sahajya Mukti? Why they are rejecting Mukti? They are very foolish, we used to think. Now we understand that, why they considered the Sahajya Mukti as not your mercy. So like that, so it is there. You know, between materialists and spiritualists, there is day and night. And between various levels of spiritualists also, there is difference in value system. There is difference in discrimination, the ability to discriminate. Well, this is natural.
Yes, Prabhuji, like spirituality means understanding us as a soul, but they will understand that a soul does not have much, like everything is given by the Lord only, no, Prabhuji. So finally, without service means we are just enjoying Lord's opulences without serving him. It is once again selfishness only, no, Prabhuji. Like that is why soul, yeah, as a soul, why should we serve means we are not able to create anything by our own. We are depending totally on someone else, and it is our duty to serve him back, the God who gives us. So these people, after so much of realization, they just enjoy without serving him back. Will they do any service to Lord Prabhuji? It's just neutral state, is it, no, Prabhuji, there?
They do minimal service. It's not that they don't recognize the role of the Supreme Lord. They do recognize.
Okay.
But they don't have sufficient sukriti to want to establish a relationship with him. There is a difference between expressing gratitude and wanting to have a full-fledged relationship with someone.
Mm-hmm.
So they have sufficient sukriti to express that gratitude, but not so much sukriti where they think that the highest goal of life is to establish a relationship with Krishna. That much they don't have.
Mm-hmm. Another thing, normally we will argue, no, Prabhuji, about fall down of Jiva. That one of the thing is, like, when now Jiva is covered by Vasana, when it gets pure, it will remember its relationship with the Lord Eternal. I mean, if it is where earlier they had relationship, they will remember. But here, these people, they are seeing themselves as soul, but still, since they have not got proper practice of bhakti, of serving the Lord, so they don't remember any such relationship, no, Prabhuji. So this, I got something like when
it is hearing not that, that this is not correct understanding. It is not that if anartha navritti happens, if all the vasanas are, if the heart becomes cleansed, it's not that one will realize one's position. Only when the heart is cleansed through practice of bhakti, shuddha bhakti, only then that happens. Because by other practices, only anartha nivritti happens. There is no artha pravritti.
Yes, Prabhu.
So manifestation of one's relationship with the Supreme Lord, for that, or the understanding one's relationship with the Supreme Lord, for that, along with anartha nivritti, there should be artha pravritti also.
Positive impressions of bhakti.
Yeah, favorable. Yeah.
Yes,
so only then it is possible. Otherwise, then otherwise anartha nivritti is possible through nishkama karma yoga also. Then when at the stage of jnana, everyone should realize their relationship with Krishna. But that does not happen.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay. There are some questions in the chat box here. What is the stage of perfection in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti? Well, this is a interesting question. If we are talking about Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti as practiced by the other sampradayas, like the sampradaya, like Sri Sampradaya or Madhva Sampradaya, where that Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is practiced due to Vaikuntha Beej, the seed of Vaikuntha Bhakti. Okay. So that perfection, the perfection of that Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is to reach the stage of Bhava. But if you are talking about Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti as practiced by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, then it is not, even though in the initial stages it may look similar to Vaikuntha Bhakti, but it is actually Goloka Beej, the seed of Goloka Bhakti. So, the perfection of that Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti also is ultimately Bhava, but before reaching Bhava, one should also develop an attraction to follow in the footsteps of, one should develop a greed to follow in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis. The greed for Raganuga, that has to be there. Tannama Rupa Charitadi Sukirtananu Smrityor Kramena Rasana Manasi Niyojya Tishtan Vrajetadanuraga Jananugami Kalam Nayetadakilam Iti Upadesha Saram. As Shri Rupa Goswami says, after one reaches the higher stages of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, one should certainly develop an attraction to follow the footsteps of the Vrajavasis. A greed to follow in the footsteps of Vrajavasis. Greed to mold one's own practice of bhakti according to the footsteps of the Vrajavasis. That greed should precede even once reaching the stage of Bhava. So ultimately Bhava, but that Bhava should be shaped by the devotion which is seen in the Vrajavasis. So that is called as, so that is actually, you can say that, you know, that is, you can say, an intermediate perfection of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. We develop greed to follow in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis. Okay, there is a question in the chat box. Is there any example of such yogi? Which yogi? I am not able to exactly understand. Which yogi is being mentioned here? I mean, maybe it's in relationship with one of the discussions that we have been having. But I am not able to understand in this context. Okay, the perfected yogi as discussed in this shloka. Are there Ashtanga yogis who have reached this stage of perfection? Are there any examples of this? Yeah, there were the Navayogendras who were initially this kind of perfected Ashtanga yogis who eventually, by mercy, they took up to practice of pure devotional service. So the Navayogendras are one example of this. There must be other examples also. Of course, this, the examples might be given in the Yoga Shastras, but in them there is an example of those who perfected the stage of bhakti only. But the Navayogendras were previously perfected Ashtanga yogis. Well, that is one example. Anything else before we move forward? Okay, if there is none, we'll continue our discussion. Shyam Mukund Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Prabhuji, thank you as you explained about the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti perfection stage. So Prabhuji, mm-hmm. the question comes that one has greed and everything is there. So after Bhava stage, so one should take another guru in Vrajva, in Vrindavan Dham, or one should get initiated again if he has
no.
some Sakha Bhav or Madhurya Bhav.
No. Those things and all, one should not change one's guru. The holy name itself will reveal one's eternal position, and one's guru will confirm it. So
yes.
Why should one take reinitiation? Because we see the guru will also reveal himself to us according to our qualification. You know, the guru will not advertise, come to me for sabha or sakhi bhav and all those things. You know, that is all what sahajiyas do.
Mm-hmm.
So even our own guru, we will we may not see that aspect of our own guru, but when we become actually qualified, when by pure chanting of the holy name, when the heart becomes thoroughly cleansed, and when we one day when we get an attraction to follow particular Vrajavasis, then we will see how our guru is also qualified in that direction. Till then we won't even have the, when we cannot see that greed in ourselves, then we cannot see that greed in our guru also. But the day we become qualified with that particular greed, then we will see that greed there in our guru also.
Yes. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for clearing this. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay. If there are no further discussion points or comments, we will continue our discussion. So in the previous verse, Krishna spoke about the perfect stage of this yoga, and then he concluded by telling that sa nischayena yoktavyo yogo anirvinna chetasa. Actually, that verse should have come. Actually, this line actually should have come in the previous. I made a mistake here. I should have actually put this particular line along with the previous verse. Let me just make that small change. Give me a second. Okay, this will be a little difficult. Let me see. Okay. Because this line we have already seen. Sanischayena yoktavyo yogo anirvinna chetasa. Like that. So then he continues. Sankalpa prabhavan kamam styakva sarvana sheshatah manasaivendriya gramam viniyamya samantatah shanair shanairu parame buddhya dhritagrihitaya atma samstam manakritva nakinchit apichintayet. So he says, tyaktva asheshatah, giving up completely sarvan sankalpa prabhavan kamans, all sense objects as well as impressions arising from desire. Kama, desire. Sankalpa prabhavan kaman. Desires which are arising out of material impressions. Sarvan, all of that. Cheshataha tyaktva. Giving up completely all sense objects as well as impressions arising from desire. Indriya gramam viniyamya samantataha. And controlling all the senses completely. Manasa eva, by the mind. Buddhya driti grihitaya, and by concentrated intelligence. So, giving up completely all sense objects as well as impressions arising from desire, controlling all the senses completely by the mind, by concentrated intelligence. Atma samstam manakritva, and having the mind meditate on the Atma. Shanair shanair uparamir. Gradually one should remain in samadhi. Na kinchid api chintayet. One should then not think of thing at all except Atma. Like that. So, he says here, in such practice of yoga, the first and the last actions are mentioned in two verses. The first action is to give up desire, and the last action is to not think of anything at all. So, now he is summarizing what he has spoken. Don't be attached to anything else, and by such a practice of yoga, the last step is don't think of anything else other than Atma, which means that is the stage of samadhi. So, like that. So, sankalpa prabhavan kamam stekva san asheshataha. Giving up completely all the sense objects as well as impressions arising from desire. Controlling all the senses completely by the mind, by concentrated intelligence. So the intelligence controls the mind controls the senses. Senses control the sense objects. And by that, having the mind meditate on the Atma, one should gradually remain in samadhi, and one should not, na kinchit api chintayet, one should not think of anything else other than the Atma. Like that. But it will not be easy. Yato yato nischalati manaschanchalam astiram tatastato niyamyetat atmanyeva vasham nayet. Yat chanchalam astiram manaha niyamya. Restraining the fickle unsteady mind. Yato yato nischalati, from wherever it wanders. Atmanyeva vasham nayet. The yogi should keep it under under control, makes it obedient to the self. Whenever the mind wanders, he pulls it back and fixes it on the self. Like that. So, if the mind contacting the mode of passion happens to become unsteady due to the appearance of previous attachments, one should again practice yoga, bring it back. So, having described the states of Yoga Ruda, the highest stages, now he is telling, but if you are not at that stage, if while trying to meditate, if your mind is going somewhere else, bring it back. Again, if it is going somewhere else, bring it back. Like that, he's telling you. So, then he says, Prashantamana samhyenam yoginam sukamuttamam upaiti shanta rajasam brahma bhutam akalmasham. Sukam uttamam upaiti. Supreme bliss comes. Prashanta manasam hienam. To that yogi who has pacified mind. Shanta rajasam, in whom the mode of passion has been completely subdued. Akalmasham, who is free of sin. Brahma bhutam, and thus on the level of the realization of Brahman. So this is the practice. Yato yato nischalati, This is the practice. And by this practice, you reach the, you eventually what stage you reach is, you reach the stage of Brahma Bhuta stage. Okay. And when you reach that stage, Sukham Uttamam Upaiti, Uttamam Sukham, one attains unlimited supreme bliss. So that yogi who has managed, who has learned the art of pacifying his mind, Yato Yato Nishchalati Manas Chanchalam Astiram, Tatas Tato Niyamyetad Atman Yeva Vasham Nayet. Whenever the mind runs away, pull it back, fix it. Whenever the mind runs away, pull it back and fix it. In this way, if he has subdued the passion and pacified his mind, then he reaches the stage of Brahma Bhuta stage. So this gives the result of that practice. The result of this practice is that one becomes a Brahma Bhuta. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatmana Shochati Nakamshati. So then, as previously, the yogi again will enjoy the happiness of samadhi. Sukham is the subject of the sentence. So the bliss of samadhi. Sukham atyantikam or sukham uttamam, yoginam sukham uttamam. Like that. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, thing anyone would like to share? Ask that. Okay, if there is none, I think we will pause here. It's already 9:30. We will continue this discussion next Friday. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.